God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
He said they have their understanding darkened. See, they think that greatness comes from being used of God. But when you are really living for God and walking with Him, you know that greatness doesn't come from being used of God. It comes from being submitted to God. Even David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." That's all he wanted. What about you? It falls to me to wake up your minds. I wasted a lot of time preaching to your soul, getting the amen, the hallelujah, to say it. It built my ego. Good preaching. You weren't growing. There was no nutritional value in the hoop. It was empty calories. It's like eating a donut. There's no nutritional value in a donut. You feel good when you eat them, especially when you get glazed ones and put them in a cast iron pan and slide them in the oven with a quarter stick of butter at the bottom. All right, service is over. I'm going. And so we think. We have to start thinking differently. I can't do that anymore. And it's not, I don't curse the fact that I can't do this anymore. I'm glad. I always say, God, I had a good run. I had a good run. I used to deep fry my hot dogs, deep fry my sausages. I even bought one of those oyster deep fryers. I'd fill it up with Crisco, and I deep fried everything. I got southern roots. If you can't fry it, you don't eat it. I fried everything. Sister Lambert used to hate to see me cook. I'd have smoke all over the place because I didn't believe in turning the flame low. The higher it is, the faster it cooks. But now those days are over. They give way to wisdom. You can't just shout and dance and get donuts and not realize you're dying. As much as I hate it, you got to have some broccoli. And I call that one vegetable, I don't even know his name, I call it that white vegetable. What's that white vegetable? Cauliflower. I hate that. I hate to even look at it. She snuck it in on me one day. She made a cheese soup, something, some cheese type of thing. And she put all them vegetables in there. And I said, "Oh, that tastes good." She says, "You know what you ate?" I said, "Yeah, you used the cheese." And she said, "No, I put all that stuff in there." And see, that's the way the Word of God is. Sometimes it hurts. And so the preacher tries to, you know, put it in the stuff you like by making you dance and shout. And no, it don't work. No. You need to extract those vegetables so that the vitamins and the minerals can get inside of you. I don't want you to be Pentecostal. I want you to be Christian, followers of Christ, demonstrators of Him, lights of the world. I realize it is not easy because we have to disconnect you from things that are invariably part of your social mindset. It takes time to convert. I submit to you, Jesus did not convert the 11. He taught them principles that the Holy Spirit could bring to their mind, but they were not converted. They spent 3 years with Jesus and were not converted. Had they been converted, they would have never abandoned Jesus, and Judas would never have betrayed him. Don't feel bad that it's taking you a long time on this road to adjustment. Serving Jesus is like dieting. No matter how many pills you buy, if you look at the small print on the commercial, it says, "This will work with changes made in your diet and an exercise regimen." Well, I submit to you, get rid of the pill and just do diet and exercise. Save that money so that you can reward yourself, not with food. You ever notice people say, "Oh, go ahead and treat yourself." No, you treat yourself by getting a good medical report. When I leave my doctor's office and they say, "Oh, Mr. Lambert, you're doing so well. See you next year." Oh, I don't go out and get a Big Mac. I set another goal. I said, "All right, now when I get there next year, I'm going to have this change and that change." And this is, I told them boldly, "I will have certain levels in my blood work." And when I went back for my last, the levels were where I said they should be. But you don't just sit down and wish them to happen. This is what happens with Pentecostal people. We think that we could just speak things without accountability and responsibility. In short, here's what we're doing. We actually believe that God serves us, that we don't serve him. That's immature. When you were a child, you actually thought your parents were an unlimited bank, a deep pocket. But then when you grew up and became an adult and they were getting older, you saw how you needed to help them. Any child who takes from their parents when their parents are at a senior age needs to be horsewhipped. They have given their lives to bring you into the world, to train you, to raise you up, to take care of you, to comfort you. And you still got your hand out at 40 years old. Let me move off of that now. I could have just stayed home and watched TV. Listen carefully. Paul goes on. He says, they are past feeling, and they've given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, whenever Paul uses the word lasciviousness and uncleanness, he's speaking of sexual sin. He says here that because they have no conscience, no moral center, they've given themselves over to all sexual immorality. Why? Because their understanding is dark. Many of you struggle in areas of sexual awareness and performance. You do. You do. You do. I'm not going to call you out, but it's been on my prayer plate that the Lord has been dealing with me. You're stumbling over it because you're thinking that way. You've danced at the altar, rolled on the floor, been tied up by our ushers. You've been mummified by the dangerous red cloth, and still you find that it's impossible for you to avoid pornography. You're drawn to it like a bee to flowers. You speak in tongues. You call on God. You give other people words of deliverance and powerful exhortations from the Word of God, but you can't stop looking at it. Why does that happen? Why are you men, as hard as you try to live right and love your wives, why are you drawn to the other woman? You know you don't want to be. You know you fight it every day. And you feel horrible when the relationship is consummated. But you can't stop. You go to God. You tell him, I'm not going to do it anymore. But you forget that he knows all things. And he knows you're going to do it tomorrow. What causes that? We begin to look for the simple reason. It's the devil. Well, we know the devil is the author of confusion. We know he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But remember, he can only work in an area that's available. There are some things you just should not be temptable to. Why do amen stop? Listen, there's some things you're just not temptable to. You remember when Jesus made this statement? He said, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. You know what that meant? That meant that there was nothing in me the devil could put his finger on, isolate, and tempt me. Because the Bible says temptation comes not by the devil, but when we are drawn of our own lust and enticed. Ergo, we must deal with the lust, not the temptation. We say, oh, well, let's just eliminate the temptation from that dimension. But you still have the lust. James said, where's all these wars coming from? Why are you fighting for seats? James says, why are you becoming so desirous of a position? Because of something, some unmet need in you. Somewhere deep. There's an area that you've hidden from the Lord. Now, that is not to say he doesn't know what it is, but he can't move without confession. Without confession, there is no repentance. He can't move, and you've hidden it. You've carefully hidden it. And usually the thing that we hide from the Lord is cleverly covered over by self-pity. This is what happened to me when I was 10, and that's why I hate all men. This is what happened to me when I was 12. That's why I hate all women. No, 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 no. If your heart is pure, God will deal with it. I carry bitterness in my heart for my fourth grade bus matron because she hit me with the little leather belt. They called it the General. It was 1/4 inch thick, 1.5 inches wide, and 12 inches long. And they would slap your hands. They had corporal punishment then. And she slapped my hand because I was sitting in my class, and I pulled a pencil out my desk, and I scratched a little girl next to me. Her name was Mary Ann Etheridge. Oh, yeah. Little redheaded girl with freckles on her face that wore black horn-rimmed glasses. She didn't live too far from the school, and she sat on my right. I pulled that pencil out, and I scratched her arm, and I was very innocent. I said, "Oh, Marianne, I'm sorry." She went and told Mr. Seitz. Mr. Seitz told the bus major, and they beat me. I was in 4th grade. I hated that woman until I started pastoring. And I preached down at 2923 one Sunday, and I was preaching 1 Corinthians 13. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "How can you preach that to my children when you hate Mrs. Durr?" I had to go down to Mrs. Durr. She lived near 29th and Lehigh. I had to find Mrs. Durr. She was in her 80s. God kept her alive till I could tell her I was sorry. I said, "I'm a pastor now." I said, "And I'm so sorry that I hated you. The devil was still fighting with me. Tell her that you was angry because she hit you." No, that wasn't the issue. The issue was I did not forgive her. And I was preaching my heart out. I was like Isaiah. Isaiah was prophesying from chapter 1 to chapter 6. Isaiah prophesied for the Lord. But when he saw the Lord, he said, "I am undone. There's nothing good in me." See, God can use you even if you do have a dirty heart. But he will bring you to a place where there's going to be a time of decision where God will say, "All right, now I have been using you, but you can't grow anymore until you deal with Mrs. Durr." How many of you have a Mrs. Durr in your life? How many of you have somebody in your life that you despise, that you're not speaking to? At some point, the anointing is going to just be cut off. This is not about salvation. You're saved. It's about quality of life. You'll have no joy with bitterness. But the most dangerous thing is God won't forgive you.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.